In a time where the world is confronted with many difficulties, trials, and challenges, the glorious church must be revived to continue her mandate of possessing the nations with life-transforming truths that nourish the soul, ignite passion, and restore hope in the nations.
The glory of God is in the church. Jesus, who is accredited with signs and wonders, who performed miracles.
When Jesus entered the temple and there was corruption, he turned the tables around. Let's begin turning tables around.
It's a huge privilege and a huge responsibility to be an ambassador. If we are the ambassadors of Christ, then we must acknowledge his lordship.
Indeed, our world has questions, but the answers lie with the church. Our theme for this year, A Glorious Church Revived to Possess the Nations, seeks to deepen the focus of building a radiant church without spot, wrinkle, and blemish, whilst sparking a revival that there may be glory in the church. Welcome to Pentecost Hour, a religious broadcast by the Church of Pentecost. Pentecost Hour, God's living word to our dying world.
Very happy to come your way once again. We want to bless the name of the Lord together. Hallelujah. See, the battle against our Christ is a fierce battle. The earlier we rise to join the battle, the better. These days, prime ministers, presidents do not care to openly tell the whole world that they are of a certain kind of belief. Somebody will openly say that I thank Mr. President for nominating me. The person is a man. And say that I am here, I want to thank my husband, and he thanks, and it is a man. This is what the world wants. And behind this agenda is the devil. You see, but the church seems to be out on lunch. And we are not back yet. You see, pastors, elders glorifying themselves in their designer suits. We are putting premium on how many the bigness of our congregation. It is unfortunate. We need to rise and join the battle. And we cannot be ordinary any longer. The kingdom of God is suffering violence. And it will take the violent to take it by force. In the midst of the teaching, I want to encourage you to join the battle. It is not enough for us to be pastors. The apostolic title is not what we desire. These are just titles. James chapter 3 verse 4 says this. Or take shapes as an example. Although they are so large and are driven by strong winds. Now I just need this portion. Now because sheep are so large, they have to be driven by strong wind. And the opposition against our Christ and the church is global. They want to push us back. And for us to be able to push them back, we have to drive it with fierce wind. We have to intense Be intense in what we do. Be intense in our prayer and fasting. Be intense with good word and good preaching. That we go to church and we really mean business. That life must leave the churches and get on the streets. See, the kingdom must not suffer loss. So we need to stand up for Jesus. Everywhere you are, I want to encourage you that you don't settle to be an ordinary believer. Get involved in the battle. Let the devil write your name.
There are
certain of us the devil do not even care for. He doesn't care about us because we don't affect his kingdom. But today forward, I want you to be a problem to the devil. Shall we rise and begin to pray?
In the name of Jesus.
Stand
up, stand up, stand up for Jesus, ye soldiers of the cross. Lift high his royal banner, it must not suffer. Stand up for Jesus, stand up for Jesus, ye soldiers of the cross.
Rabase, Rabanabasada, Rabashada, Mida Rabasada, Kaboria, Rabasada, Hinda Rabasada, Kaba, Rada Rabasea, Hinda Lebaba, Randa Rabasada, Rabashada, Zakabe.
Raise 1 million intercessors. Behind the revival agenda. Through the youth ministry. So if you want to be part of it, please look for the link. The youth ministry, they are praying on every Thursday between 9 and 10 p.m. GMT.
Na se wo pese wo ka ho a hwehwe sa link no a eye youth ministry for link no na yawade bi efri no nkro kosi nundu enumre bia no na wo ho a wo bompa.
We need to raise intercessors behind the revival agenda.
See again tangina for a tie epia or chebo adumedi.
See, we have studied that.
Yesu ya se
for effective ministry, we need to give attention to prayer and the ministry of the word. Truth should always be accompanied by grace.
For
Jesus is so just all the cross. Oh, yes, that is royal blood. It must not suffer long from victory, from victory unto victory.
So for effective ministry, we need to give attention to prayer and the ministry of the word. Just like the apostles, we need to give attention to prayer and the ministry of the word. Truth, we have said, should always be accompanied by grace. It is grace that activates the truth for transformation. Jesus, our perfect example, was full of grace and truth. Full of grace and truth. You see, we looked at his prayer life. And we thought that there is a correlation between his prayer life and his teaching ministry. Luke chapter 6 verse 12, if we shall, we have to remind ourselves. So one of those days, Jesus went out to a mountainside to pray. And spent the night praying to God. Anytime that I read this scripture, so I begin to ask myself, if the Son of God, who spent so much time in prayer, then what about me? The Son of Man. If the Son of God, who dwells so much in prayer, then what about us? What about us? If we really need revival, we have to be like the Master. In word, and in prayer, in truth, and in grace, in truth, and in grace, we studied that Ezra
Ezra
was well versed in the word of God.
At
the same time,
he
was a man of prayer. Daniel was the man of scripture.
And
he led a fasted life. He was always on a fast. Moses, the man of the law, loved the presence of God. This grace that quickens the way is activated in prayer. And this grace, which we have defined as God's supernatural ability, that enables ordinary men, ordinary people, to do extraordinary things, is boundless and measureless. We therefore need to seek to grow in it through prayer and much prayer. The Bible says in Acts chapter 4, verse 33, that with great power, the apostles continue to testify to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus. And God's grace was so powerful at work in them all. God's grace was so powerful at work in them all. So the grace works powerfully in us. But I like the King James.
King James there, no.
It says great grace.
Now or say to me
was upon them all. If we have something like great grace,
say yeah, we be say odum kesia.
Then we can have greater grace.
And then between odum kesipa.
That is why Peter urged us.
And what in a Petro share in Christ
to grow in grace.
Say yeah, you need our
and in the knowledge of our God.
And you want to him dear.
That is, he said, that grow in the truth.
No Christ, I'm say said you need one cream
and grow in grace.
Nothing you need our doom.
So for us to build a revived church,
it is here between us. Sorry, I want Kenya.
We need both the way. And prayer.
And in Bible.
Much prayer.
In Bible be brave.
For greater grace. Tarrying for the Spirit. For grace. For greater impact. We need it. See, prayer, brothers, is not just a mere communication between God and man. This is what we were taught when we were growing up in Christ. But this is too elementary.
Now,
prayer is communication between us and God. Yeah, we have heard it. But this one is elementary. Prayer is not primarily
in Bible, any say
for asking and receiving.
In Bible, any say ubi sa na wajeke.
So for many Christians, you see them in prayer when they are in trouble.
Iti wa ime Christopher be pray on Bible munu umu on Bible umbra wa
huachiro. Because they'll go to prayer when there's a need.
If he said wa come Bible umbra bibi hia wankwa.
Prayer is not merely for binding and losing. So these days we have filled our churches with binding and losing. You see people encouraging us to clap and pray. Clap and bind the devil. See, prayer is more than this. Prayer is dependent humility on God. It is realizing our helplessness and asking God and throwing our whole life on the grace of God. Prayer is to fellowship with the Spirit. And intimacy with the Holy Spirit. Where the Holy Spirit imparts our life and renew us our strength. In prayer, we open up for the Spirit's molding. In real prayer, there is transformation of the individual
Na wasakra nipa no
from glory to glory.
Every adumu ko adumu.
In real prayer.
Wo impaibo kan imu.
When that intimacy is there.
Bra enkita ho e
wo ho. There is a transformation.
Wo esakra ye eba.
It takes our weakness.
Oje ye mro ye.
And he imparts us with his strength.
Na odena ho de sheye.
And we are transformed.
Na wasakra ye.
The Bible says into the same image.
Actually say echo nipa kromu.
What image is that?
Dey imponimu.
When we go into prayer.
Say ye ko impaibo ma.
We go before God. It is man standing before God. Or man kneeling before God. Prostrating before God. Your prayer posture does not matter. What matters is that you are beholding his face. And as long as you tarry, the Bible says you will be transformed into the image you are seeing. That is why when Moses came from the mountain, he had to veil his face. Because from glory to glory, he was transformed into the image he was beholding. To the extent that when he came down, his own brothers were running away from him. This is prayer. It is not how much you shout, but how intense you watch his face. It is not the fasting. It is not what we call prayer. But your ability to gaze on his. And allow him to work on you.
You see,
because it is very important.
If you say ehuhia,
that the knowledge of the truth is like picking grapes.
As he said here. Yeah, titi bobe
from the grapevine.
Every bobe efum,
the harvester.
The all titi bobe abano.
Or in this instance, the preacher.
Announces say wasabri muno osofo.
Or the pastor.
Ana nyamsem kanino.
Or the elder.
Ana asafopenino.
Must be willing to go through God's wine press where the grapes are crushed.
As I say, otumiko bebi aye bubu bobe abano.
It is the juice from the grapes that satisfies. But the juice
will
have to flow from the bosom of the pastor. So whoever the pastor is,
it is said your osofo ni tiebia.
Affects the taste of the juice. Let me just say this. You see, we are containers that receive life from God.
Yeah. Don't throw a beer.
When we used to be in the village, we place barrels at certain vantage points to fetch water. Sometimes it will rain in the barrel, and depending on the condition of the barrel, some you aren't able to drink the water. Because the barrel is so dirty that even though you have had rain from above, you still cannot drink it. Because the condition of the barrel is not allowing you to feed on the clean water from above.
Nsuo na ebeto no so ye nsuo a eye krogen nanso ebia na ankrɛ no emufi ene se de emu ade yete no na wantumi amfa ankrɛ no mu nsuo no bi anom antumi amfa anye bibia.
The man behind the sermon
onipa ogira asem nechi no
is as important as the sermon.
Ono so ni huhia se asempa na nkasa.
The sermon is anointed. Because the man is anointed.
If we said the orca sermon was running,
it is a holy sermon. Because the man behind the sermon is a holy man.
If we said the orca sermon,
the sermon is powerful.
Because
the man is full of unction.
If he said there, all cast him no engosera one.
You cannot negotiate what I have just said.
Unto me anyway, anyone bye bye.
Dead man. Who preach dead sermons. And eventually they will become undertakers of churches. They kill churches. We need to rise for life. It's right for life.
Yes, sorry, Epem.
Sometimes when people are putting premium on, change my car, give me this car. So you are just putting premium on the wrong things.
Na nipa ede wambuta ya yese, eh sisa meka, ana sisa we mamia. Na mihusa wode adia enye adi papa ena ye wambuta.
Members are waiting for life. They don't get.
I'm sorry, man. I try and kwa wonya.
We pray that God will revive us again.
Yeah, bon pastor, ya min Kenya embio.
See, the impact of a man's ministry depends on the spiritual character of the person. The impact of our ministries. The impact of your parenting.
It
depends on the spiritual character of you as a parent. And the Puritans, my friends, they knew this too well.
So
I always said that these Puritans sought for godliness in all they did.
And
they so much impact their generation.
So
now let's pay attention to how the Puritans adopted this principle in their preaching and teaching. The principle of waiting upon God for Spirit's power and grace.
See,
they place so much emphasis on preaching. And yet they coveted for prayer and much prayer. So like the apostles, they place much premium on the way than prayer. Let's look at how they revered prayer, how they placed so much emphasis on prayer. See, one of their own, John Owen, stated, the first and the primary duty of a pastor is to feed the flock by diligent preaching of the word.
Asofo bia ne juma a edikan ne juma butai ba ko ne se obefri nyamya semu na wayen onyakopon emma.
Now let's concentrate on this for a while.
Mama yen hwe sa semi kakra.
The first and primary duty of a pastor.
Asofo ne juma kane
is to feed the flock. Now we are talking about feeding the flock of God.
Se ani se obeye nyame nwan
by diligent preaching of the word. Now, these days we just go to church and a pastor will just lift a quotation. Tomorrow by this time. Tomorrow by this
time.
And all his preaching will be tomorrow by this time.
And
especially people will be shouting, hallelujah.
Amen.
Tomorrow by this time, God will make a way.
When
somebody will lift a song, God will make a way.
And then
they just excited, they just lift our emotions. See, but the primary duty of a pastor, he is not a motivational speaker. He is a teacher of the word. He feeds the flock with good food. Paul told Timothy, labor in the word. Labor in the word.
Now,
recognizing that the scripture is food for the soul, the Puritans insisted that the preacher's task is to feed their members with the content of the scriptures. Not the dry hacks of their own ideas, but the life-giving, life-transforming word of God. Now Peter admonishes in 1 Peter 4 verse 11.
Now Petro etu yefo, Petro woman edikan eti enan.
First Peter 4, verse 11.
Petro, wo medi kan ti 92 mu baako.
Now listen. If anyone speaks,
se obika asem a,
they should do so as one who speaks the very words of God.
Manunka no se onyakopon ensem.
Look, I see they are thinking. If you are speaking,
se wo kasa,
you should do so
ikasa
as one who speaks the very words of God.
Se obia oka onyakopon asem.
This is speaking.
Where ye?
I don't think he was talking about preaching.
So
if in your normal conversations you should speak as if God is speaking, what of you when you are teaching and
preaching?
See, it is worth noting that just because preaching is feeding the congregation with the bread of life,
and the
Puritans defined the pastoral work in terms of preaching first and foremost.
Now Puritan for no because they
understood that preaching is feeding the congregation with the bread of life. You see, in our generation, it is common to define pastoral work as a matter of visiting, personal dealing only. To oppose it to public preaching of the word. See, a person we say, maybe a bad preacher, yet a good pastor.
That's why you're so for papa.
This one, the Puritans will not agree.
We no Puritan funny into.
But to the Puritan,
now Puritan funny there.
Faithful preaching,
no cry nyamsem kano,
was a basic ingredient in faithful pastoring.
Aye, adia na esombo ewo asofujuma aye no cream.
Faithful preaching.
It
is a basic ingredient in faithful pastoring. The pastor was to labor in the word, or the elder was to labor in the word as his prime task. See, the examples of the apostles seems to lend some credence to this assertion. In Acts chapter 6, we all saw that there was a problem. Peter and Co. needed some people to manage the tables. But let's listen to what Peter said. Brothers and sisters, choose 7 men from among you who are known to be full of the Spirit and wisdom. We will turn this responsibility over to them. Managing widows and sharing food. And we will give our attention to prayer and the ministry of the word for truth and grace. Attention. A concentration of minds on a single object or thought. Concentration of minds. You see, God, the Bible is a manual of God. How he wants to train and build humanity. Anything outside that will not be what God wants. But apart from this, the Puritans also praised emphasis on prayer. Puritan preaching was powerful in its manner. It was powerful in its manner. The Puritan coveted unction in the pulpits. They coveted unction. The anointing.
Ngosra.
You see, what we call anointing.
Yeah, your friend Ngosra no.
Is much grace.
Aye, odumpi.
That is the definition of say akwe anointing one is soon. What that means is that there's so much grace on his life. So when you are preaching, the Puritan sought for unction and anointing. They converted preaching in unction in preaching. The shedding of spiritual influence upon a person is what we call the unction. They expected the preacher to speak from a full heart in good earnest. With light and love and weight, kabod. They expected it.
And he said, "What better say? Any a mudro be a bebem."
Effective preaching, according to them,
Womono patcher said, "Yam sem papa
should be enveloped in spirits that in the spirit's power."
As I said, "A share now so some conclude to me, Asha Muma."
Through much labor in prayer.
Na yanamim piebokes, yes, so.
Through much labor in prayer.
Yanam piebokes, yes, so.
Now, want to quickly examine, what one of them called Buster.
Now, me per se, you share the best of
one of their leaders.
One more kind of
said concerning the preacher and preaching.
Ekafa nipa okanyam sem eninyam sem.
That I want it to be projected.
Now, me per se, ye eunfuni.
And we want to read together if we can. It is easy for a minister to preach in the pulpit, that is, talk excessively and pointlessly. But to preach is not easy. That time I was telling somebody that what I really fear is preaching.
He said,
"Hey, you too."
No, say, "Hey, also."
You don't know.
Hey, we need
to. You see, when I'm about to preach, there's some this kind of holy fear that comes upon.
Yeah,
when I enter into my closet to prepare, those are the times that I don't even want my wife to come. When she knocks at the door, say, "Why?" Sometimes you say, "Oh, sorry."
No,
someone is looking for you. Oh, for this one, you have to come. You have to come.
Oh, be sure on the way there. Say, "Oh, me when you are
now." As for this one,
we come here.
You have to come.
I said, "Oh, me when you."
There was this man who gave a testimony about Billy Graham.
Papa B. Eddie Billy Graham. What
he says that he didn't know that Billy Graham was such a man. Even though he was so close to him, there was this day that they were just about to go. Billy Graham was just about to go and have a crusade, about to preach. But he needed to give him some information. So he went to the wife. And the wife said, "Ah, you can't get Billy around this time." Then he shared the concern. And the wife said, "Hey, it's a difficult thing.
With your dream."
Okay.
Okay.
I will take you to him. Then the wife actually was not going to ask the husband to stop praying because of the information, but he just wanted the man to see something. So that the man himself will advise himself. So he just went to the prayer closet and opened the door quietly, and then he pushed it. And the man said, "I saw this huge creature lying prostrate on the floor. Serving." So when Billy Graham preaches and he finishes and he folds his hands like this, and people are coming, he has won them in the closet already.
And he said, Billy Graham, can you say we na obobon in say jina ho na senkrofo no e ba wa ye won hu adwuma dada e won in Bible.
I would like to end here.
Me de besi ha.
And God willing, I'll continue from here next week. But wherever you are, and whoever you are, you are also a believer and preacher. There must be life from you to the outside world. It is this life that will give us victory over the kingdom of darkness. And if you're an elder, or a pastor, then tonight I have spoken to you directly. We need to change our ways. People need our God. And they need life. Shall we rise?